as my heart is pulling more and more to Christ, there's more and more crisis developing in my wife's heart. She had become a lover of the lifestyle and the comfort and the ease and the freedom and the money. And she called herself a Christian just as I had done for all these years. But I began to realize there's a lot more to becoming a Christian than just going to church and reading the Bible and being involved in a Wednesday night Bible study and feeding some homeless people on Sunday nights. I began to realize that I wasn't much better off than the Pharisees. I knew a lot about God, I thought, but I didn't know Him. I didn't have a personal relationship with Him. I was not receiving daily dependent guidance. He was not guiding me and directing me in my truth. The relationship was entirely dependent upon me. There was no God to me. It was just me to Him. And really, my relationship was with Christianity, not with God. I didn't have this living, breathing relationship, whereas with God, I've spoken to Him the whole way up here this morning, and God actually led me to do this video. And So I didn't have that kind of relationship with God, so I wanted it. I had seen a few people that had it. To make a long story short, I began to need to surrender my life fully to God, and it meant there were going to have to be some very radical changes in my lifestyle, in my business, in my pursuits of money and quote-unquote worldly success. And the more I began to go that way, the more the resistance came from my ex-wife. And in the end, I tried to do everything I could to please this woman. I sold things. I got rid of things. I chased after other opportunities. I spent my life trying to please a woman who was unpleasable. It's the truth. I didn't realize it in the time. I've told people that when chaos is all you've ever known, chaos is normal. And I lived a life of emotional, spiritual marriage chaos. I'm to blame for much of it, and equally is my ex-wife. And I tried everything I could to fix it, and nothing would work. And we had high points of happiness. We had really one great year, and that was when we had money, and it was a temporary happiness. Sin always feels good for a temporary time, and then it comes with a heavy cost on the end. So I ended up getting to this place where I had to surrender. I knew I needed to make a decision. Was I going to keep trying to have the world and Christ, have money and God, or was I going to just give up my whole life to Him and consider what His greater purpose for my life might be, no matter the consequences? Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me, his brother, sister, his wife, or children more than me, is not worthy of me. So I had to come to that place where I realized my ex-wife was not wanting to come along with me into this deeper walk with Christ. In almost 17 years of knowing her, I saw her read her Bible of her own accord 10 times. Yet she had grown up Christian and claimed to be a follower of Christ since she was 7 years old. But there was no love for God. There was no desire. There was this Pharisaical, we attend church because that's what we've always done. We talk about Christianity. We keep Bibles in our home and we listen to Christian music and we do all these Christian things. But there was no relationship with God. Jesus says, you love me with your lips. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And that's the relationship that we had. That was it. And so I begged her to come along with me and she wouldn't. And I began to feel a desire to tell the business people that were following me in my daily videos about the truth about my life, that behind the scenes, I love Jesus Christ with all of my heart. And I wanted to kind of come out of the closet and tell people I'm a follower of Christ. And when I'm weak, I go into the woods behind my house and I get on my knees. My ex-wife began to stand against me. She literally did this to me. And that's a spirit of Antichrist, not the Antichrist. It is a spirit of Antichrist, which John says is even now in the world, many Antichrists. She was trying to get me to not tell people about my faith in Jesus Christ. She said, let's not be one of those who talks about it and then lives like hypocrites. Let's just let our life display it. And it sounded great. It's like that quote from St. Francis of Assisi that says, you know, preach the gospel all over the world and use words if you have to. It sounds great in theory, but without the word of God, there's no power in anything. There has to be a balance between sharing of the word of God and living of the word of God. You can't have one without the other. You know, there has to be a presentation of the good news. There has to be speaking out of the cross of Christ. There has to be an annunciation of faith, a proclaiming with your mouth. Without that, there is no gospel. Who can believe unless someone preaches the gospel, right? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach and bring good news. But there also has to be the living of it, such that it's not just words. If you just preach words and you have no living, the words mean nothing. Ultimately, people will hear your words, but they will see your actions, and your actions will speak far more loudly than your words do. That's the essence of leading people to Christ, is you hear my words, but you see my walk. We didn't have the walk, and I wanted the walk. I wanted it desperately. I wanted to know God. I wanted him more than anything in the world. And I was willing to lose everything. And so I surrendered to him on October 30th of 2009. And 9 months to the day later, after having tried everything, I tried to get my ex-wife into a ministry where we would tell our abortion story. And this abortion story ended up blowing up in our face. It was like I had opened up a spiritual hornet's nest. And the devil used that as the final nail in the coffin to separate my ex-wife and I and harden her heart completely against me. And it blew up in my face. And after just a few weeks of having her announced on a blog of how wonderful she thought I was and how proud of the journey I was on she was and how proud she was to be my wife, just weeks later, all hell broke loose and I became the most evil, horrible person. And I was accused of literally everything you can think of except for being a homosexual. You've probably heard me speak of this in other videos. So she divorced me within 2 weeks of moving out. And on July 30th of 2010, I received divorce papers. This would begin a downward death spiral of brokenness and darkness in my life. God was setting me up to break me. John 12:24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves his life will lose it. But if anyone hates his life in this world, he will keep it for eternal life. And God was going to break me. I needed brokenness. A lot of people God tries to break and they resist. I was wanting to embrace the brokenness. And there's a lot of people who, when they go through brokenness, they don't respond to it properly the way God would have them. And so the brokenness is extended out until a person almost can't take it anymore and they just want to quit and give up on everything. Brokenness is called brokenness for a reason. Hardship is called hardship because it's hard. Tribulation is called tribulation because you tribulate. It's very difficult. Suffering is called suffering because you suffer. It's painful. But you can respond to it in a way that invites Christ into that suffering and into that brokenness, which makes it palatable and actually turns it into an unbelievable blessing. And as someone once said, I would far rather walk through darkness and brokenness with Jesus Christ than to walk through comfort without him. And I found that to be the truth in my life. And so I would enter into this unbelievable season where God turned up the heat. And just like Saul was used in the life of David, or the Pharaoh in the life of Moses, God allowed her to have a hard heart. And she came out with me with guns blazing. It was really the most evil I'd ever seen from something that looked so innocent for so many years. It wasn't like I was married to a prostitute or a drug addict, somebody who's drinking and drugging and acting a fool. You would expect these kind of things, but somebody who looked so prim and proper on the outside and yet could be so evil on the inside, it was unbelievable to me. It still is to this day. It amazes me. There's no doubt about it. But the point I want to share is this. My heart was broken. I loved my wife as best as I could. When she divorced me, she told me that she never loved me. And I believed her because she never loved herself. But I loved her and I wanted to be in love. I had always desired to be in love. And honestly, I feel best when I'm in love. It's kind of how God has wired me. So when this broke, there was a day on November 17th, 2010. I'm walking on a prayer walk in the morning. And I'm brokenhearted. I've walked around my children's house praying for her and for my ex-wife and my children. And I'm walking past this pond on the golf course and I'm just lamenting before God. And I cried out and I said, Father, am I just doomed? I was wearing this invisible spiritual scarlet D, a divorced Christian. And I had been thinking for months now, I'm ruined. I'm a divorced Christian. God can never use me ever again. I've lost my whole witness for God. How did this happen to me? Honestly, I used to look down on divorced Christians until I became one. I remember looking at people who would go through divorce and I'd say, why did you quit? Why didn't you trust God? You know, we didn't quit. Look at all we've been through. We're still married. We trusted God. I looked down on people that got divorced. And then I realized that, you know, it takes two people to make a marriage. It only takes one to end it. So, dear Christian brother or sister who is still married, be very careful about looking down on people who've been divorced until you know the whole story. And the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged, because you don't ever have all the information to know about somebody's personal situation. I've seen some people already judge me. I'm so happy to tell you that I've remarried. I've just come back from India. I'm doing this video just shortly after I've returned from India, and God has given me this unbelievable restoration. First, He gave me deliverance in my divorce, and then He began to redeem it for Christ-like character in me, and now He's given me restoration and given back to me that which the locusts have stolen. It's a story in and of itself that's absolutely incredible. And yet there are people that have such ignorance in their thinking. There's been people who have judged me and said things like, you know, you've sinned and you've remarried, and without even knowing my situation and really without fully knowing the scriptures on this. So that's what I'm trying to get to in this long speech here, is I want to get to how God taught me my situation was differently than what I had been told and what I thought. So on that November 17th, 2010 morning, I'm walking, and God, will I ever be married? Will I ever have someone to love me again? And God does this unbelievable miracle that morning. There's a pond, and I'm walking past this pond at 5:30 in the morning. The sun's just barely coming up, pink and purple sky behind it. And there's this one bird sitting in the middle of that pond, and instantly it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, that is you right now. This one little bird all alone in the world, nobody with him. I just took the picture of that picture because it was so stunning to me. I took my phone out of my exercise thing. I quickly grabbed a picture, and I was amazed. As I began to walk away, it's like the spirit of Gideon came upon me. And I threw out this fleece, kind of halfway thinking. And I just said, Lord, if when I came back and passed this pond again after my walk is over and I saw two birds in the middle of that pond, God, I would know that I was going to have a wife again and I would be loved again. 30 minutes later, I'm walking back. To my utter amazement, sitting in the middle of that gigantic pond is now not only that one same bird, but he now has a mate. They're the only birds in the whole pond. I've put the pictures here for you to see. I was absolutely shocked. Tears began to stream down my face. I quickly got out my phone again. I took a picture of this, and I knew, and the Holy Spirit confirmed to me in that moment, you will be married again. This divorce is a part of your life. It's not the end of life. It's a chapter. It's not the end of the story. And I knew right then and there, God had moved by His divine providence. In answer to my desperate prayer and my crying, God is near the brokenhearted. And in that brokenhearted moment, God knew that I didn't want to be divorced. This wasn't something I chose. I was left by my wife, and I was broken, and I wanted to know if God would ever redeem it, and He gave me a promise that He would. So now, fast forward 5.5 years of waiting for this wife. One woman, really an ex-girlfriend, had contacted me from college. I dated her very quickly over the phone, saw her 10 times, and quickly put that thing away and realized that was not remotely something for me. But then I had one what I would consider serious attempt at dating. It lasted about 6 months in 2011. And the whole time God was trying to show me I was compromising. I didn't realize it at the time, but I didn't need to be dating anybody. I had a lot of growth. I had a lot of healing I needed to do, but I didn't want to hear this from anybody. I had so much pain in my heart, you just want to fill it. And when somebody comes along that makes you feel good, it's such a powerful feeling. And that's why these rebound marriages occur, where you have this void that you want so desperately to fill. And it's so dangerous. And, you know, you hear people say you have to find your needs being met in God first. And you know what? It's absolutely true, but you don't want to hear it when you're going through that. And you don't even know what that means. I didn't know God well enough to know that He could literally become my everything, such that I would walk in these woods for months, years later, and say, God, I don't even need to be married again. All I need is You. I'm perfectly content to be single. I could have never imagined being able to get to that place. But the Lord became my everything. So, from this time, I had this promise, and I then in 2012 was shown a woman. I met a woman at an outdoor concert, and she reeked of kindness and humility. Even from a distance, I just could tell there was something different about this woman, and I was drawn to her. And I ended up seeing her 3 weeks later after I was praying, you know, about her, seeing her again. I saw her 3 weeks again, and I walked up and invited her to have coffee with me. And she was very pretty on the outside, and she was very accommodating, very humble and kind to me. And I was amazed. I was like, wow, she wanted to have coffee with me. Well, Shortly after that, the door closed. She had all kinds of things happen in her life, a death in the family, a dog ran away, something wrong in her business, and she had to delay having this cup of coffee with me.